Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Kantianism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty, here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
If all radio stations in town were palm trees, we'd be the one with the biggest coconuts.
Check this out. We got a great show coming your way today.
Hey, everybody, get it out!
All I can say is wow.
Lock it on to the best station on the net. Online.
God, I love the station.
I am completely in awe of him.
I'm addicted to this.
I'm excited to him.
You got it going on, girl.
I love you.
Definitely there's nothing like it. Welcome and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are around the world. You're listening to Freedomizer Radio, and this is Moving Beyond the Matrix with the Double Ds. That's Darren and Drew Anna. And obviously this Sunday, as usual, we have an extended version of what we do. And Sundays, is we love Sundays because we get call-ins on Sundays. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make Sundays our call-ins. For anybody who likes to participate and give us their stories. And since we had so much fun last weekend, we're going to bring back one of our good friends, personal good friends, and a great magician, because this is magical Sunday evening that we're at right now. And since we had so many great stories last time, he's got more stories to bring in. So we're just going to go straight into it. We got our good friend William Lay on the side, so I've got to figure out how to bring him in. So let me hand me. I'm going to hand you over to the missus. We're going to start this off once again, and then just hold on to something tight. Pour a drink, grab a smoke, whatever it is you do. Just relax into it. You're going to enjoy this evening as we're full of stories and delights.
Hey everyone, how are you? This is Dr. Joanna Wells. So exciting to be back here on Freedomize Radio and Moving Beyond the Matrix. Really good times. We had an amazing time last week. He's like, the funny thing is, even though his stories are real, but he has a way of sharing in a comical manner, and it just makes you laugh. He's so funny, you know. We just love his humor. My kids love his humor, especially when he says funny things. And he is a very powerful black magician, and we have worked with him for many years, and seen nothing but amazing successes happen with the magic that he has helped us with. It's just mind-blowing. So that's why we just love having him on and explaining just, you know, what happens when you're in living in a world as a magician, you know, you walk the world between the world, you walk between the worlds, actually, between the mundane and the spiritual world all the time. And the more that you become more intuitive and psychic and all of that, you tend to become very sensitive to other things out there that you normally don't ever see. So we're going to go ahead and bring William on board, and my husband Darren's going to be talking to him as well. Here he is. Okay.
Okay, hit the button. Are you there, William?
Yep. Hello, everybody. I'm here and glad to be back.
Yeah, great to have you back. I mean, just like my wife says, I mean, damn, you've got some real stories that are real shit happening, but you just have a comical way of putting it across there, and we really enjoy these stories. So,
well,
do you have for us?
Make people laugh a little bit, but still tell your true story, and because there's a lot of stress in the world, and I'm just trying to help people reduce their stress to on top of telling true stories.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, obviously they're true stories, but sometimes it just sounds weird. Because I was listening to them last week, and I'm thinking,
weird.
Wow,
yes.
Damn, just the way you put them across. This thing, it actually, to start with, it sounded like you were reading from a book. But then I thought, nah.
Kind of,
we know William. This is real.
Yeah, very magical, very fantastic, of course, to a lot of the people out there.
Yeah.
It's very fantastic out there to many people because they're like, whoa, we don't, you know, they probably don't ever experience something as amazing as your stories.
Yeah, it's not just the stories, though. It's actual science. It's actual nature. It's these beings are actually for real.
Mm-hmm.
So vampires, werewolves, they do exist. They're out there. You've obviously came in contact with them, and it's just amazing how you managed to fight them off.
And survive.
And survive, yeah, damn.
Shit.
Vampires sucking you off in the hospital, with taking your blood and being chased by a werewolf, and you're opening clips at it on its face, and it's still running at you. Damn.
Yeah, yeah. I seem to be
those
a magnet
two
for
stories,
the for some unknown reason. They come after me. What the attraction is, I don't know, but I'm certainly not attracted to them.
Well, to be honest, I think you actually probably are one of the, one of the spiritual fighters. I think you've got to be one of the warriors that protect us, like a guardian warrior.
Yes.
Because that's the feeling that I am. I'm also a guardian warrior, and I protect and do my thing. And that's what people need to learn and understand, how to protect themselves, because this shit does really exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you want to go straight into another story and let us know how you dealt with that as well. That would be interesting.
Yeah, it's always interesting. A lot of people really enjoyed the last show.
I think tonight I'll go into more about the werewolf adventures that I've had, the adventures that I never wanted, but nevertheless, I'm going to some of the older ones that people haven't heard and explain how it all started with this craziness.
Unravel away, bro.
I want to start back when I was in high school. It all started when I was in high school. I was about 15 years old when I had my very first werewolf encounter.
Wow.
A friend of mine who I used to hang out with in high school that I would meet almost every night after school went down to his place because he was an excellent teacher as far martial arts. He was teaching karate and stuff, and I wanted to learn, and he invited me down, and we would do stuff like that. We would also go camping and other things like that that I was more into, one day he says to me, he says, I know this oil well, you know, like one of those personal private oil wells that people have on their property here in the States that they're making money because they've got a small oil well drilled. Well, he takes me out into the countryside.
Uh-huh.
It was about a good 20 miles or so from where I used to live, south of where I used to live, through a small town here in Ohio called Mineral City. And after crossing the railroad tracks, there was a road off to the left. I can't remember the name of the road off the top of my head, but we went left on that road and out into the countryside. And we finally get to this oil well, which turned out to be on the right, pulled up in there and parked. And he says to me, he says, hey, you know, let's get out of the car and I want to take you up there in the woods. And I said, hold on a minute, I want to get my things out of the trunk, because any time I went to the woods, I always carried a canteen and at least a machete.
Uh-huh.
In this particular situation, I had the canteen, the machete, and also a backup knife, expecting possible problems, so wanted to have something with me to defend myself. My buddy brings along a 6-foot karate staff. And I didn't think much of it. Pull it out of the trunk, you know, and we hike up through these woods. Now, it wouldn't have been that bad of a thing for him to have that, except that the trees kept growing closer and closer together the further up the hill we went. And then they turned from regular trees into thorn trees. And I looked at him and I said, I sure hope we don't have any problems up here, because you're not going to be able to use that staff, because these trees are growing so close together and thorns sticking out everywhere, you're not going to be able to fight with that thing. I said, I'm barely going to be able to fight with my machete, you know. I said, so I hope whatever you're taking me up here for, because he didn't tell me, I said, I hope we don't have any battles here. Well, we finally get to the top of the hill, and there's an opening up there. It's not really a field. It's just kind of a flat area where it's at the top of the hill. And there's some big boulders up there and whatnot. And out, you can look out and see the farm that's on the other side of the oil well, a very large field, I want to say, probably 6 or 7 football fields long. And at the end of that is the farmhouse. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting up there, sitting on the rock, kind of resting, you know, from coming up through the woods. I look over and I hear toward the farmhouse, I hear what seemed to be dogs barking at first. And I'm looking out, and he points and he says, see there? And I said, yeah, I can hear dogs, and I see them way out in the field. He says, no, just look closer. And as they were getting about, when they get about halfway to the car where we were parked, then I was able to tell they weren't actually dogs, but had hands instead of front paws. And I was like, I said to him, oh, shit, you idiot. That's exactly what I said to my friend, because I said, you've just cut us off from the car. I said, we have no way to escape now. I said, and they're coming this way. I said, they're too close. There's no way we're going to make it back to the car in time. And I said, we're way out here in the middle of the country. Don't know where the heck we're at. And I said, so I had to think, you know, And finally I said, well, if we cut down through the woods to the right here, we might be able to hit the street. I said, so let's go that way before they get up here. And then we can maybe, if we're lucky, after they get up into the woods part, we can circle back around, double back around, and get to the car. So sure enough, that did actually work, and we were able to get back to the car. We threw our weapons and stuff in the back seat, closed the doors. I told him, roll up the windows, lock the doors, and I barreled it out of there and was going down the road about 90 miles an hour as these things were behind, running behind us, chasing us down the road. So these things were incredibly fast.
You're going to have to keep that speed
up, right? Yeah, we didn't until we got to town. Yeah, we sure
Holy
didn't.
Holy cow,
and
that'd
course,
be scary. So how many of them were there?
Well, there was only 3 that followed us down the road, but there was about 5 or 6 that had actually ran across the field.
Wow.
So the three of them were able to chase us. The other 3 we initially got away from, but it chased us for quite a few miles. They were running at incredible speed. And, yeah, we just had to floor it. And we're on back roads, windy back roads. Not quite as bad as the roads of West Virginia or up in the mountains of California where you got lots of switchbacks and things, but it was bad. And we made it out of there. It was quite a day, but that was the first time I'd ever seen one. Up until that time, I didn't even really know they existed.
Wow, and you never had a gun or anything, any kind of firearm ordnance with you at that time because you were so young?
Well, I did the second time we went back again. About a month later.
You went?
I got it. You went back. I went back as crazy as it sounds because I wanted to get another look at him.
Wow.
Yep.
So tell us about the second time. Did anything happen then?
We went up in there and we parked and we waited. I said, we're not going up in the woods and getting pinned down this time. And he said, okay. I said, we're gonna sit right here in the car. I got this brand new 12-gauge single shot, you know, holds one shell, you know, the old school ones, you know, and that's what I had. And I had a box of slugs. And I said, let's see if they come up again. Well, we sat there for hours and nothing. So we went back home, and I never visited that particular site again. But then the strange thing is just a few years later when I was right out of high school, I had just graduated high school, and another friend of mine, which happens to live in that very same neighborhood where my friend Harley, the one I was talking about, lived, and he invites me to his house for the first time. This kid I thought highly of because he was always helping me out in school when a bunch of bullies would come at me and everything back in those days. I didn't know how to fight, and up until Harley teaching me, but he would get the bullies off of me in school. So I thought very highly of this kid, and I said, of course I'll come down, you know, and I pulled in front of his house, which is way back in this neighborhood. It's along the edge of the woods. And I pulled in and everything, and I get out of the car, and he comes out to greet me and invites me in to meet his mother and all of this good stuff. And we sat and talked for a good half an hour, and then he says, hey, I got something over in the woods I want to show you. I said, okay. So I went to the trunk, grabbed my canteen, grabbed my machete, right? And then we walk up the road and cut into the woods, which is right across the street from his house. Went up in there, cut down through the woods. He's taking me down a certain way down through there and took me in an old log cabin that there was only the bottom logs left. That was all that was left of the cabin. And it was marked 1800 and something. I think it was 1862. It was engraved on that bottom log. Why he showed me the old cabin, because the only thing left of it was the bottom logs, but he did. And I really didn't think anything of it. And I'm kind of standing there kind of bored, like, why are you showing me this old, gone cabin here, you know? And he never did answer. So then he goes, I got one other thing to show me. So I said, okay. Through the woods a little bit further, and there's a hill. We go up over the hill and down, and there's a valley there of woods, and on the far end you could see a treehouse. He walks me over to the treehouse, and he says, hey, he says, I've got to leave for a little while, but he says, I want you to get in this treehouse and promise me no matter what you do, do not get out of the treehouse. He says, I'll be back. And I'm like, okay. Wow. So I climb in the treehouse. This treehouse looked like it was fairly new, fairly built, fairly newly built, you know. And I climb up in there, and I'm sitting in the back corner just kind of looking out the door. It had a wide door on it. And he goes up over the hill and disappears. And I'm just kind of sitting there relaxing, you know, and drink a little bit of water. And then I start hearing something in the woods moving around. And I don't see anything. I'm peeking out the doorway, and I'm looking, and I'm like, the hell is moving around? I can hear it, but I can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
So then I sit back a little bit longer and try to relax, and then the sound is getting closer and closer, and so then I slide closer to the doorway, and I pull out my blade, my machete, and I'm sitting there looking very concerned because this sound, as many years that I've spent in the woods, I know all the sounds of the woods that are normal, and that sound just wasn't normal the way it was. Hard to describe, but the sound was not normal. And I'm looking, and I see this transparent-like thing move, dart from one tree to the next. It was like a chameleon.
Oh, my God, that sounds like Predator. Predator. Oh,
it was like the movie Predator, seriously. You mention it, it was kind of like that. It was like a chameleon, you know, whatever they sit on, they turn, they pick up the color behind them, and they look just like that object. That's what this thing was like. It was moving. You could see the grass and everything else and the trees and everything else just right through it.
But before you actually saw this kind of weird thing, did it ever occur to you in the back of your mind that maybe your friend could have been pranking you for something if he had to leave? All of a sudden, did you think he might have pulled a prank?
It did cross my mind for a moment, but as I saw this thing darting from tree to tree quickly, and the very speed of it alone was superhuman, I said, "This can't be a prank. This thing is moving way too fast." And I'm getting nervous, and I really wasn't nervous. I'm like 19 years old, and I'm getting nervous. And so I said, screw this treehouse, because I sat there and I thought about it a minute. I said, if there is something that's going to attack me, I am dead meat in this treehouse, because you can't even, it wasn't tall enough to stand up in. I wouldn't even be able to stand up to defend myself. So I said, screw the treehouse. I got out of the treehouse. And I put my back to the treehouse so nothing could get behind me, and I had my machete on the ready, and I started making threats at it. I said, if you want some of me, I said, bring it on, let's go, you know. And it was probably a ridiculous idea. It was probably a really bad idea. When I was doing that back then, this was before I knew magic and stuff. But I was brave back then. I was the warrior, like Darren said. That's right. I was ready to fight.
Wow.
I was literally ready to fight to the death. And then about 2 seconds later, my buddy comes barreling down the hill, yelling at me. He says, what are you doing? We got to go. We got to go. We got to get out of here. And so I said, why? And he says, I'll tell you later. Follow me. And so then we're running up the hill, and I'm glancing back because I know this thing is down there because I've seen it. And we get up over the hill, and then that ends up leading back across the street to his house. I get back over to his house, and I said to him, I said, hey, what the hell was that down there, and why did you take me down there? And he wouldn't answer. He says, well, I'll have to talk to you later. I said, can I come in and talk about it? He goes, no. He says, you gotta go. I'll talk to you later. I said, okay. So I took my stuff, threw it back in the trunk, got in the car, drove away, back to my place, which was about 3 miles up the road. I was bewildered by that for a long time. I meditated on days and day after day after day, meditated on that situation because that was the strangest thing ever. But did the word werewolf cross my mind? Yeah, it kind of did.
How long did it take him to actually tell you?
It left me baffled for a while. And then I got to thinking, was he the werewolf? Or was his mother possibly the werewolf? Was the only two people there? Right. Did he just take me down to show me a werewolf that maybe lived in that forest? I didn't know. So I started investigating and asking questions around, and wasn't until many years later when I got older and I had a lady that would come out and help me because I had medical injuries and stuff. From work and stuff, so she was a kind of like a home health aide that would come out and help me out. And I started talking to this one home health aide, and she asked me what school I went to, and I said, well, you know, I went to the Canton South High School, and she says, oh, that's where I went to, and she says, what year did you graduate? And I told her, and she says, oh, well, you might know my uncle. And I said, who's your uncle? She says, you know, Randy. And I said, she told me the last name. And I said, yeah, that was a friend of mine in high school, a close friend of mine. He used to help me with the bullies and stuff. And then I told her the story about what happened down at Randy's house. And she goes, oh, wow. She says, you know what? She says, I'm going to go to my uncle's house because I go there to visit all the time, she says, with my uncle and my grandmother. And she said, I'll find it. He'll tell me, because he'll tell me anything. I said, okay, I would appreciate if you could find out for me just from him. You know, it's been a long time, and I said, it's been years, and I said, since the incident happened, and I just want to know, you know, what was the real reason he took me down there, and who was the werewolf? Was it himself? Was it his mother? Or was it just something strange in the forest that he wanted me to see, and he thought I was being protected by the treehouse?
So you know, he never actually told you?
No, he never did actually told me. Every time I'd call him, he wouldn't answer. He wouldn't respond to me, so that's why I sent her. And the strange thing is, her last name was Poochie. Of all last names, her last name was Poochie. And I had to laugh about that. I'm like, what? I was like, wow. So anyway, I was laughing for days on that one. And then I'm going to go down there. She says, this weekend, I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to see him, and when I come back on Monday to give you some service, she says, I'll tell you everything my uncle told me. I said, okay, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic if you could do that for me. I'll even give you a few dollars, you know. And she said, okay. And, you know, I was excited. I was super excited. I really wanted to find out the answers. But come Monday,
I'll bet.
No aid. And she was already an hour late before I finally decided to call to her office, you know, where she worked. And I said, hey, I said, oh, where is she? I said, my aide was supposed to be here. She's not here. I said, did she call off today? They said, let me check. And they looked back and they said, no. Nope, she didn't call off. They said, she should be there. She's not there. I said, no, she's not here. Her car's not out front, nothing. And she says, okay, well, we'll call over to her family's house and find out where she is and see if we can get her to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. I said, I hope she's okay, you know, didn't get into a car accident or anything. And they called and they called, and then a little bit later they called me back and said, nobody at that house knows where she is. They all say they're worried about her, that she's missing. This was at the Poochie family residence.
Oh, shit.
Right, so.
Oh, my God.
And Randy's last name, of course, was Joyner. That was his last name. So days and days and days went by, and no one could find her. Family went searching for her, couldn't find her. Finally, I told the office, I said, hey, tell her family to go look or to call her uncle, Randy, because she said she was going there for the weekend. And they tried to reach
Holy
up.
Shit.
They claimed, oh, no, she wasn't here this weekend. Well, it was years later, literally years later, when I found out the truth that she did go to Uncle Randy's but never did come home.
Holy crap, she never came home.
She must have said the wrong thing and got taken out to the treehouse, and, well, she probably didn't make it out of there alive because they never did find her. There was a missing persons report for her and everything else. She's just still a missing person to this day.
Wow.
And I had sharp, very sharp clairvoyant visions of her being eaten by the werewolf.
Oh.
Well, that's not...
So her Uncle Randy is probably a werewolf.
Yeah, that's what I thought too at first, but then years later I found out that it wasn't Randy, it was Mama. Mama was actually the werewolf, and he was having to lure in to feed her. So yeah, that was the scary ending of the thing.
Holy crap! And he was gonna feed her to you to her.
Oh, yeah, was he gonna feed you to her, or was he just gonna show you?
Well, I'm pretty sure
oh
I was.
Oh my gosh!
How would he leave, and all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah,
it just
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
That was too creepy, and I said, I'm sure glad I had my blade, but then when I look back on it. You know, nowadays, I said, boy, that wouldn't have stopped shit. You know, so.
Yeah.
So
what happened to that werewolf mama?
I don't know if she still lives there. I know Randy moved to another town, East Sparta, Ohio. He lives in East Sparta, Ohio right now. And he turned all pro-Christian. And from what I understand, he's a
pastor
of the church now. Yeah, I think Mama did something to finally drive him away, but I never could find him down there to reach out to him to talk to him. Yep, I have a feeling that Mama had him did in, or her, I mean.
That's freaking crazy.
She's a werewolf, and the family, the other family that's related to her, his last name is Poochie. You know, I'm just like, really strange, right? So
right.
How many of them are werewolves, I wonder, you know, covering the whole thing up.
Yeah, you would think it was a lineage thing, though. If they're blood-related, right? They would all be werewolves?
Yeah. And then there's another guy that lived about halfway the distance between where I used to live and Randy's house, and he lived down into the woods area, and he was also very strange. I had another friend who was very friendly to me in high school, and we went down to his house quite often, and his dad was very strange. He had, like, hundreds upon hundreds of cars, newer cars, older cars, just cars littering his backyard. Nobody could really see them from the road or anything because he was back far enough off the road that nobody could see those cars behind his house. But he had hundreds of cars, and I got to thinking. I said, maybe that's where all the cars are going after, you know, werewolf eats everybody. Someone's getting rid of the cars. Maybe it's this guy because that guy... That guy sure acted like a werewolf. He never did transform or anything. He's my friend's dad, but he sure did. He was a very forceful, very dominating type person. Hell, his eyebrows even grew together at the forehead. But like they said, a man whose eyebrows grow together will soon be a werewolf. You know, like. That crazy shit like that, right? In old legends, old tale, right? And his eyebrows grew. He just scared me every time I went down there. But then I got to investigating that and found out that he knew the Joiners and they were friends.
Oh. Oh,
so
wow, that's
pretty
freaking
sure. I'm pretty sure that's where the cars went. My car would have ended up down there, too, had I met my fate that day.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, so there's a lot of werewolves in Ohio.
There are, actually. And now from reports
I've
heard...
So I've got a question before you go on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've got a question before you go on. When you saw those cars, you were thinking, well, okay, that could be two and two put together. Mm-hmm. Has anybody actually called the police to come down and check those cars? Of missing people. That's what the police would find, right? They would do PNC checks. They would check the cars and say, okay, where's the person gone that used to own this car?
I guess nobody
ever did.
There'd be a
massive investigation.
And I was young at the time, and I didn't really think of that. But,
yeah.
It really was strange.
But maybe they're in. Yeah. Because they could be in with the police.
Yeah, they could be in with the police, that's right.
That's if the police didn't get eaten after they got down there, who knows? But, I mean, you know, at least they would have guns,
yeah.
You know. But all I had was a crappy single-shot 12-gauge. But
you were saying
time,
as a report? What were the reports on the werewolves?
No, I sure didn't. I didn't think anybody would believe me. It is pretty wild and out there, you know, so I didn't think anybody would believe me. I think the police would think I was on crack or something had I called them.
Yeah, that
probably
didn't make sense.
I didn't want to be in a drug addict, you know, but it just strange stuff. But, you know, that compares to the story I had on Poto Mountain Wilderness where
mm-hmm.
we camped up there. Remember when I was telling you guys about the two campsites that were up there on that 16-mile-long mountain, and we had a problem with werewolves up there when we camped up there. Well, several trips after that incident that we went up there, because we kept going back up there to camp, because after I burned that sage the tobacco to the mountain spirit, they never tried to attack us again. But we went down the wrong road one day up there. It was all dirt roads, and went down the wrong dirt road and ended up getting to the top of a hill, and there was a valley down there. The road goes down there, and there was a whole valley full of cars down in there. This was in Arkansas, about 6 miles north of Waldron, Arkansas, which was Poto Mountain Wilderness. And I couldn't believe the number of cars and RVs and old cars, new cars, you name it, all down there in this valley, just parked down there doing nothing. Wasn't like it was a parking lot.
It
was in grass.
So it wasn't like a junkyard or nothing.
Yeah, it was kind of like a junkyard because doors were left open and everything, but it wasn't an actual junkyard. It was just cars down there in the middle of the mountains there, in the middle of the Poto Mountain Wilderness National Forest. Didn't make any sense. So, and I compared that with what I saw back here in Ohio, and I said, I wonder if that's where they're getting rid of people's cars when they kill them up here on the mountain, because we found, like I said, we found bloody shoes, we found people that only left one shoe, we found bloody shirts that were ripped, all sorts of stuff down over the hill, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense until we saw the werewolf. So, it seems that they're driving the vehicles away if there's vehicles involved and getting rid of them somewhere in order to hide the evidence.
Wow. That's
they're not very good at
gosh.
Getting rid of, they're not very good at getting rid of the clothing, though. But,
yeah.
This is too much. That's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, thinking about it, like watching movies of werewolves, I'm like, you know, it's a cool movie. You know what I mean? You never think it's real.
There's some cool
like American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, Werewolf in London. One of the scariest ones was the Howling series, and Wolfen. That was another really good one. Yeah, that was pretty scary.
Yeah, Wolf, the one in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the one you saw? I remember seeing it when I was a kid, Woof. It was in New
seen
York.
All of them. Pretty much all of them.
Yeah,
there was
that freaked me the hell out. That freaked me the hell out. I remember, and I still remember it, like, and then I saw it again because I saw it as a kid, and I saw it again.
Yeah.
You know, it was really, really cool how, you know, it was all tied to the Native American people. And the wolves were the Native American spirits, you know? It was awesome at the end of the movie, and I just fell in love with wolves after that. I was like, oh, my God, I want a wolf.
Right,
yeah.
You're going to need some wolves to protect you from the werewolves.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Maybe some pit bulls or something.
You definitely need a wolf to protect you. Yeah, shit. So Ohio, like, how many you were saying something to Darren about, like, what was going on, how many was reported? Was it reported missing or reported of how
Well, we're number eight on in the country. We're number eight on the most Bigfoot sightings. I'm not sure how what we're rated on the werewolf sightings, but it's a lot. Sure. We seem to be infested.
What's number one?
Huh?
What's number one? What's the number one state?
What's the number one
state that has the werewolves?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up and find out if there is a chart or something on the number of sightings of werewolves in Ohio and around the country. I'm going to have to look and see because I don't know on that one. But I know it's a lot because I've been in a lot of places in Ohio, and it's and anymore I can feel them. When they're around, I know they're around. My psychic abilities, since I know their energy signature, I know when they're around. I can just feel them even long before seeing any physical evidence of them because I've had so many.
Do they ever come near the city?
Yep, sometimes they've been in the city. That hospital I told you guys about last time, the Mercy Hospital, that used to have werewolves up on the 10th floor that were working there. They had to be employees, the only explanation I could figure. But they're the ones that would come on the PA in the middle of the night around midnight and start doing a Catholic sermon, which then soon turned into some sort of demonic language, which then at the end of their so-called sermon, after all the howling and everything else in the background, they would end it with Shem Hamphresh, Hail Satan, every time.
Whoa!
The good thing I was on the 9th floor, which was still scary as shit. That's only one floor above me, right? That all disappeared once Cleveland Clinic went in and remodeled the 10th floor, and they remodeled some other floors. The energies, and I go up to the 10th floor when I'm over there, the energy of the werewolves is no longer there, so I don't know where they went. They may have went to a different level or different area in the hospital. Maybe Cleveland Clinic had the military or something come in. I don't know. Or maybe
they ran
the
back
new,
off into the woods?
Or maybe they're in the new building. Well, there's not much woods there to run away to. There's the Canton City Park, but that ain't going to get them far. Yeah, I don't know. They may have just packed up and left the hospital to go find some other hospital, maybe further out in the country, maybe Dover, New Philly, somewhere, maybe some of the other country towns.
Because if they were thinking, well, maybe you're onto them, maybe other people are onto them. And maybe that's what scared them and thought, oh, we got to get out of here. People are starting to find out the truth.
I think it was the people that came in to remodel. I think that totally disrupted their activities there, and they took off, or they're in the new building, which is not physically attached to the main hospital. Right beside it, they may be in that building, for all I know. I have yet to run into their energies in there to find out where they are, but... rest assured, we still have the vampires there, which is mighty strange. So.
Goodness gracious, man.
Wow.
Yeah. It would be good to do a film or have a voice recorder with you.
Yeah, so some kind of evidence would be cool.
Me and Zep are going to go in there before too long here. I'll tell you about the adventure after we have it. We're going to go in there, and she's going to take her camera with us. And we're going to go in there, and we're going to go to the area where I know the vampires are, and we're going to see what we can get on film.
Make sure you're packing.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be packing 10 millimeter all the way.
Yeah.
I wonder if holy water actually works.
I wouldn't want to bet my life on it. Would it work? Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to bet my life. I'm going to use magic because I know I can stop them with that.
Yeah.
So.
What about silver bullets?
My guardians with me. My guardians to protect me from Azazel. So they won't be able to touch either one of us. But but still going to pack anyway. And Zep has already
said you got any silver bullets with it?
Well, I know where to buy them, but they're $99 a bullet, Darren. Literally,
wow.
$99. I'll send you the link.
Holy
I'll send
crap.
You the link to the store where you can actually buy silver bullets. It's crazy. Like, you have to have very deep pockets to buy 50 rounds of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
God knows how many.
I bet Zep can't wait to see that shit.
They're not just Curio, they're live rounds. They're live rounds, and they're designed for one thing, and that's killing werewolves.
Exactly.
And vampires.
So obviously, why would they make them if they didn't exist?
Right, yeah. I mean, because when a friend of mine gave me the website to begin with, I thought, oh, this was just something to sell silver, you know. And then when I got to reading, I realized that these are real rounds.
Wow.
And have them in 9 mm.
They're going to be needed. They're going to be needed.
Yeah, so definitely do some powerful rituals and everything to, you know, protect yourselves from all of that. My gosh.
Oh, definitely. We're going to be magically armed and physically armed to the teeth.
Good.
Screw the sign on,
you're going to need to be.
Screw the sign on the hospital door that says no weapons allowed. So.
concealed.
Right.
Yes, concealed. Yeah, we're going to be, we're going to be armed and dangerous, yes. So.
I can just imagine you and Zep walking in there with your magical robes, and you've got M16s and all these things, machetes and grenades and all this shit, and then you walk into the reception and they're like, "What?" And you're like,
"I think
step
we're
aside,
skip
bitch. We got some shit to
I
take
do
care
believe,
of."
Yeah. The robe part's gonna be too obvious, right? Unless we claim to be priests, you know, we can claim to be Catholic priests from some strange offshoot of Catholicism or something, you know.
Yeah.
Just walk in with a you walk in with a pump action shotgun, cock it, go, and say at the receptionist scene, we're about to do what's that thing that priests do?
A blessing?
No, not a blessing. We're about to do
an exorcist.
We're about to do an exorcist, so it's time to get the fuck out.
Yeah, we hold our shotgun above our head and say, "This is our boomstick," right?
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, people need to know. They need to be aware of what's really going on.
This shit really
they
works.
They need to be protected here.
Yeah, they actually exist. And I'm sure if there's anybody that listens to this show that lives in that area, if they have any stories, please come forward. Tell us. We will have you on the show. No problem.
Yeah, that's why they have it on Hollywood movies, you know, just to put it right in front of your face so that you can believe that, that's just Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's just only in the movies.
It's mind trickling. It's to program us.
That would be wonderful for somebody else to come in and have also witnessed similar experiences at that hospital. It would corroborate everything I've said for sure. And, that would just be wonderful if we could find someone out there.
Yeah, I mean, or even the werewolves, you know, having experiences with those, my gosh.
Yeah, or any kind of entity that's not of human origin.
But, maybe we can find a friendly werewolf that would come on the show, who knows. But
yeah, that would be pretty cool.
That would be interesting.
That'd be really cool.
Seriously.
So what other beasts and creatures have you seen in the forest?
Yeah, what else? What other
that
encounters?
Are supernatural?
There's these things, and I don't know what they're called, but it's like they're bones. It's like human. They're human-looking. They're all solid bone with a thin layer of human flesh stretched over with no apparent muscles. No organs, nothing like that. I call them creepers because they're creepy, but they tend to creep and slink along, kind of like observing people. I've only ever seen these things one time, but they definitely emitted a very dark and ominous energy. They were totally either unable or unwilling to communicate, which I tried that with no luck at all. Just couldn't trust them.
They sound like Crotox.
Yeah, they would creep along and follow you and slink around in the shadows and whatnot and down in the gullies, the ravines, Crotox. And wherever else they could hide and watch you. Just gave me the heebie-jeebies, and that was on a trip I went with friends over in West Virginia many years ago.
You were talking about you're from West Virginia, so I was thinking, is the moth prophecies true, Mothman?
Yes, it most certainly is. I've driven through that town a few times in my younger days, and I stop and talk to people about that on a few occasions at restaurants and stuff, and we stopped to eat there. And these people were extremely adamant that it all went down, that it all actually happened. And especially the one woman I was talking to, she was a waitress, and I could tell she was very super sincere about it and very scared to even talk about it. But she did.
Wow.
She told us since we asked. And I had three or four more people in the restaurant that confirmed that actually happened. And they lost family members when that bridge, when the Mothman caused that bridge to collapse and go into the river. A lot of people died from
that.
Mm.
Oh,
so,
see those things that would... Yeah. But I was just thinking that, just those things you've never got what, sorry?
He never got to see them?
I never get to see them off, man.
But
I don't know what I would have done on that
those
one.
Things,
but
I think those things you run about, the ones that were slinking.
Reptilian.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, could be. Because those things you were saying about that slink past you and all that kind of stuff. I forgot the name of the movie, but I saw a movie that looked like it. And these are actually what you call Crotox. Crotox. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah. What it is, with them being Crotox, they're actually on a different level. You can't really see them. But if you do see them and they realize that you can see them, they create an event where they kill you.
Mm.
Yeah,
driving along and all of a sudden, and then you see them, and then obviously they create something that creates an accident, and then you're dead.
Yeah,
I forgot the name of. There's a movie a while ago, a couple of decades ago, about that.
Okay.
I forgot the name, but I'll come back to you on that one. But yeah, Crotox, that's what they are.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll have to do a little research on that.
And I also believe do you know these old fashioned? Sorry, do you know these old fashioned 3D glasses used to get where one side was red, one side was green or blue.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If you put those two lenses together and you look out, you can actually see multidimensional beings actually floating around in the sky.
Holy shit!
And everything.
I need one of those.
we can actually see the next level because obviously we can only see so much light within our eyes because the light spectrum is so tiny, minute. Obviously, there are other things that exist outside that light thing. So if you just get those old-fashioned glasses and put those two lenses together, you can actually see them.
Yeah, I said what I always said when us humans were created, we got the short end of the stick because the animals got the superior bodies. They got the superior senses, eyes, nose, ears, way heightened senses way beyond ours. That's why the animals can see a lot of this stuff that we cannot see.
But I actually believe that we also have those senses as well. It's just that we haven't been educated on how to use them correctly because I do believe we have a lot more senses and powers within us that we just haven't told about, you know, so... I believe we have those heightened senses as well. and more.
The only thing,
because I believe that we have things.
We got the brains, but we didn't. I said we got the brains, but we didn't get the better bodies, for sure.
Yeah, we got to work on that, haven't we? we got to go to the gym every other day or something.
Maybe we'll evolve one day and we'll be able to do a lot of things we can't do now. But,
But yeah, totally. I mean, it makes you think. I mean, you have to think about everything. I mean, because the possibilities are endless. Because because these things we see as myth or like folktale stories actually exist out there.
Yeah.
Because we have witnesses. You're one of them.
Yeah, I'm one of just a few around here.
Exactly.
But there's millions of people out there that have had experiences for sure. All one needs to do is go to YouTube and look at the stories up there regarding werewolves, vampires, wendigos, you name it, it's up there.
Yeah, I bet. We'd love to have people like that on our show as well, just to verify it. Not that we don't believe you. I mean, damn. I mean, I totally believe you because I understand being in the magic circle as well.
Maybe you could invite Mr. Bowen on there, on the radio here. He's got some interesting ones because he what he does is he takes people's true stories and they send them into him, and then he retells their stories as to what happened to them and what they experienced. And there's another guy on YouTube too that does that. That's a really good guy. I'll send you the links to the two channels here in a few days. And you can look those channels, but there's some stories there that will make your skin crawl, buddy. So.
Wow.
Yep. Everything from aliens to werewolves to vampires. But if we could get one of those guys on here, that would be great.
Totally. I mean, that's what this show is all about. I mean, sharing knowledge, wisdom, solutions. Because we are dealing with these kinds of things from the paranormal level. They do
exist.
We are. I mean, people say, I don't believe in aliens.
A lot of people
don't believe in ghosts.
From a mundane level, you know, and us as...
it's all to do with the programming.
Practitioners, we have extra abilities to be able to go a little further, so...
Yeah.
In our
That's what it is.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So you've had a few run-ins with werewolves. What about, and obviously at that time you mentioned about what we call Crotax, vampires.
Aliens.
What about aliens? Yeah. Had any encounters with?
I had two particular really strange experiences with aliens when I was in my 30s. Me and my wife had rented an apartment. There was a big building. It was set up like a apartment complex thing, but it looked like a giant house. It had six units in there, and we had rented the smallest of the units at the time because we didn't have a lot of money coming in. So we were in a little efficiency size one, and every night we would go outside and we'd walk, and sometimes we would go up on the second story stairs that were on the outside up to the apartments on the top section of the house, and we'd just sit up on the steps, you know, and just sit and talk, whatever. And one day I'm looking up in the sky and I see this silvery thing moving. And I pointed out to her, and I said, "Do you see that?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You see how it moves, and then it stops?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "That's got to be a UFO." And I said, "We don't have any craft that can do that. There's no propellers on it." I said, "It's not a helicopter." It was silent. It was totally silent. There was no sound. And I said, "There's no sound. have any engine or anything. I said, that's an alien spacecraft we're looking at right there. And we sat there and watched it for a good half an hour or so. And then suddenly I get this really massive migraine headache. It was a migraine headache out of hell itself. But and I had to go lay down. I told her I'm going to be sick. So we went back in the house, and I was so miserable. I had to go lay down because if I didn't, it was going to be all bad. She stayed in the living room, which was on the other side of the bedroom wall, and I was in bed, and I'm laying there sleeping. A couple hours later, I wake up, and my headache was gone, but I looked, and surrounding my bed were six gray aliens, the little Zeta Reticuli, the ones with the big glassy eyes, the ones that have rainbows in their eyes.
The little drones.
Hell.
Yeah, the little draconian drones,
thing I've ever seen. They scared me at a level that I couldn't even begin to describe.
Wow.
You know, just for home security, I always would have some sort of weapon laying on the floor under my bed, right at the edge, you know, in case somebody came and broke in or something, you know. I had a machete laying down there, and
I bet you that didn't
do
anything.
I was so terrified, Darren. I couldn't even reach down and grab that machete.
Wow.
I couldn't move. I was so petrified with fear, I could not move anything other than my eyes. And they were staring at me like they were looking deep into my soul.
Wow. So it was fear that stopped you from moving, and they didn't actually use any kind of instrument to paralyze you.
I don't know if they did something psychically to cause that fear to that point to paralyze me, but for whatever the reason that I was paralyzed, I mean, other than the fear that I was aware of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they did anything to induce that fear other than be there, but it's possible. I don't know. But I really, after seeing these things and how scary they were and the looks on their faces, I did not like them, and I felt negativity coming from them. Like you wouldn't believe, I wanted to kill them all. I really did. Wanted to chop off little alien heads, you know what I mean? I could not reach down and get my weapon no matter what I tried. I laid there for about 15 minutes, and finally I got enough energy up to scream out to my wife. She come running around the corner and into the bedroom, and they looked at her, and she seen them, and they turned into balls of light and flew right out through the glass window. And they were gone.
So she saw this. She saw them.
Yeah, she saw them.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
My gosh. That's so scary.
Damn, we should get your wife on as well.
But
she's sitting right here. Put her on. You want
to
come on for a minute, Ab?
Oh, yeah,
let her
corroborate this if she wants to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those aliens, oh, my God.
All right, I'll give her the phone. You can tell her what your experiences were with them in that apartment we had where those aliens were around my bed.
I know, so I came into the bedroom, and I saw him, and I saw the aliens. They saw me, and, you know, they just took out the window, and I told them, I said, oh, my God, you know.
Wow.
Aliens. I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, I had a weapon on me. And I was going to grab and use it, but I thought my weapon's not going to do anything for the aliens because, you know, they're aliens, and I don't think my machete or anything's going to, you know, hurt them at all. I mean, it's going to slice them, but I thought slicing them. I don't think, you know, killing the alien will work. I mean, because, I mean, they're aliens, and
scared them off.
I came in there and charged them with a machete because I was going to cut their heads off. I told them they had to leave the room. I mean, they were being negativity with Bill because he was very sick. And I told them they had to leave. And when they saw me and I saw them, they went out right at the window, like with white light, like little balls of light.
Wow. So you told them off?
Wow.
And there was some figure. I mean, this is some figure things. I mean, these aliens, I mean, I don't know where they came from. It's like every time I turn around, you know, I'm seeing aliens somewhere. Well, I'm having nightmares. Like a couple of nights ago in bed in here beside Bill, I had a nightmare. I was abducted, you know, and I don't know if I was or not, but I felt like I was, you know, in a UFO somewhere, and they were doing some experiments on my body, and they put it back into my bed. I woke up the next morning with a strange headache and don't know what even happened. I mean, it was just weird. I mean, we've had some weird things happen in our lives. Since we've been together, we've had a lot of weird experiences. We've had werewolves and vampires, and we've had big, I mean, I saw Bigfoot 3 times in my life, hopefully never again. And I saw Bigfoot.
Wow. You guys are brave. I tell you, you're brave warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have.
You survived them.
Oh, yeah, we
survived
them. Because you didn't know how to react toward aliens, but you know, I just thought, you know, I was going to kill them. They ain't going to hurt me. I'm going to hurt them. I mean, because I didn't want to kill them.
You gotta have that attitude.
I told them, I need to kill the aliens because if they don't kill the aliens, you know, they're gonna kill us or abduct us or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's gonna happen. I was scared. I was scared for our lives. I hear he is back, but that's what I was going to tell you. Okay.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you went into total protection mode there, but thank you for sharing. Yeah, thanks for corral.
Yeah, I had one other
instance.
With those same aliens, I had one other experience. It was not at that particular apartment. It was years later when I lived at a different apartment complex. Unfortunately, the story is very short, unfortunately. However, I will tell it as it was. I was laying in bed one night and just kind of relaxing, nothing out of the ordinary going on, a friend of mine called me, and he started talking about aliens and how the aliens were after him, and he didn't know what to do. He was totally freaking out, you know, and I was trying to give him some helpful hints on what to do to try to shut them down magically to get rid of them, you know. And he just wasn't having any luck at all. The next thing I know, right after I hang up with him, after I got him calmed down as best as could be, I felt something touch my shoulder, right? I look up and there's a gray alien. There's a gray alien grabbing me by the shoulder. It had 3 fingers with short little black nails at the end. And I looked up and there was its face looking down with a very sinister-looking smile on its face. And it said telepathically to me, we can reach out and touch you anytime we want to, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. That was the message I got very clearly.
That is, oh, my God, I got to tell you something, William. That's what happened to me. They were, like, in San Diego. It was, like, a bunch of black shadows. And I was laying with, you know, my ex-husband, Jeremy, at the time, and I was looking at the ceiling, and then right away I tried to do, you know, like what you do, you know, with the lesser banishing ritual, Ata, Malkut, Vigbura, Vigdul, you know, immediately the sign of the cross in that way. Because last time the same thing came to me in Washington, and it fucking left. Well, this time it kept me from speaking. They kept me from speaking. There were a bunch of shadows, black shadows, and they said the same fucking thing. They said we are the visitors, and they sounded like computers. Like, we are the visitors, but we can do whatever we want with you. Like, really fucking weird. And I couldn't move. I was paralyzed, and I just had to wait until they were done with me. It was like I was being spiritually raped. Wow.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That was
pretty
creepy.
That's pretty terrifying.
So those are probably aliens then.
Yeah.
Most likely.
I've got one to show as well.
They're either aliens or they're shadow people. The other, either way, it's a bad deal.
Yeah.
Interdimensional beings, what we call them, it doesn't matter what they are. Because aliens, whatever, it's... Who's to say what names we can put on these things? But they're interdimensional entities. I've got a quick story to share with this.
Yeah, go for it.
As well, because for those who know me, I have been an international DJ for like about 20 odd years. And what happened was one night, I wasn't driving, but I was in a transit van with all the gear in the back, all the disco gear in the back, the sound system and lights and all that stuff. And the buddy my friend I was working with at the time, he was driving, it was his van, and he was called Chris. I'd finished a gig, he came, picked me up, we loaded the van. We were in England at the time, in the United Kingdom, and obviously just like Ohio, certain parts where we did our gig was in the middle of nowhere. We had forests for miles, and it was just like one big road going down it for miles. So on our way back in the middle of the night, I mean, I'm saying the middle of the night, this was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, by the time we'd finished and packed up and everything. And we were heading back, and then the driver's side on England, the driver's side is on the right-hand side. So I was on the left-hand side of the vehicle, and we drive on the left-hand side of the road in England, right? So if you can just imagine this for a second, as we're moving down this highway on the left-hand side, I glance across to the left. Chris didn't see it at first, but I glance across to the left, and you have like ditches and bushes and shrubberies and all this kind of stuff. And then just beyond that, I saw it started as a mist, and then it went like to a white light, right? And then it started with different colored lights. Not like disco style, but it was all one light, as if that light just was all lights you could see, different colors in that light, right? Then it started to raise. Then I could see the shape. It was like a not silver, but like a dark gunmetal kind of silver. And it started raising slowly. And I went, Chris, look at that. He goes, what? We just passed it. As I said to Chris, right? He didn't see it. What are you on about? Because he didn't see it. And then as it rose up, we felt in both our bodies static electricity. Our head, I mean, we are two big guys. I mean, big guys. We've got bald heads. Both our heads are shaven, but on our arms and our legs, and I'm a hairy guy, I could feel the static. All the hairs were standing up on edge, and we all had chicken skin. And we're like, what the fuck is that? I says, dude, look to the left, look to the left. I could hardly tell him. I says, there's a fucking... And then the van just stopped. It cut out, right? And
yeah.
Then obviously there was another guy coming the other way, on the other side. His car cut out, so there was only two. There was basically three witnesses: me, my buddy in the van, and this other guy in the car who we had no idea who was. He was on the other side. His car cut out, and then all three of us, got out of our vehicles, and went, "What the hell's going on?" We went to check. Well, obviously Chris went to check to see the engine to see why it was. And then I went, Chris, it's not the engine. Look. And he went, what the fuck is that? And then we saw it just going up slowly. This other guy was out his car as well. I'm talking feet. Literally feet from us. About 20 feet in front of us. This ship raised up. I could see like a mist round it. I couldn't hear shit. No sound whatsoever. And we could just see this light underneath at the middle. It was like it was swirling, but it was like silvery, kind of multicolored, but it wasn't colors. I don't know how to explain it. But it was like a disco inside that little ball itself. And as we were watching, we looked at each other. And even this other guy across the other side of the road, he looked at us and he went, What? We couldn't believe what... We were just so dumbstruck. Then all of a sudden, it raised about, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 feet above us. Then it turned and aimed up. Like, it went from flat to pointing up. And then it just took off. Split second, gone. Whoosh! Without a sound. And then all of a sudden... Both vehicles' lights came back on. Our lights came back on because obviously it was at night. But obviously we had to restart other cars because whatever that vehicle did, it just immobilized us totally. So we started the truck again. It worked okay, fine. And then we just looked at each other and we couldn't say nothing. We didn't say nothing to each other on the way back home. We couldn't. We knew what we saw. but we never spoke on the way back home. But afterwards, days, we were like, what the fuck happened? And it's weird because ever since then, right? Actually, no. I think because I believe, right? Obviously, I know. I am an abductee. My wife can verify it as well. Because, you know, when you've got a hairy guy, I'm a hairy guy. My legs are hairy and everything. But at the bottom, at the certain parts on each side, right, both legs, there's no hair. Every so often, the hair will grow in, and then every so often, it'll be nice and smooth because that's where they grab me, right? And I'm put in these, like, they put me in these clamps kind of thing, and they draw something from the bottom of my feet, like the fluid or something, right? And then I can actually see them. This has been happening since I was a little boy, like a young child. Because all this reminds me of all of that. And then, like I say, every so often, I'll wake up with smooth legs on the sides. All right? And I'm thinking, yep, I was taken last night. Something fucking happened. There's nothing I can do because I'm paralyzed. I can see them.
Yeah.
I can also see the room. So it's like they're not in the room with me, but I'm on their ship, but I can see my room. I can see my room, and I can just see them as a haze, and I can see the ship as a haze, but I can see more clearly the room I'm in, like the bedroom. And then I can't move. I can't see nothing. I can't do shit until it's over.
Have you tried to psychically attack them?
I've tried psychically saying, no, you do not have any fucking permission to do nothing to me, you know. I think we tried calling Azazel one time.
I don't know if she ever did.
I don't know if I did, but I think I'll call my demon friends to watch over my ass. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I'm not suffering in any way, I don't think.
They were probably creating blocks in your life.
Maybe it's the created blocks in my life. I don't know for certain things, but as far as health is, I mean, I seem to be okay, but I don't know why they're doing this. They're obviously harvesting something to learn something or to harvest something to help them, because we understand that
right.
The rays cannot procreate. They're a dying breed, and they need our life force to understand for them to live out their lives. So they can, you know, clone themselves. They're basically like parasites, but at the same time, they're a dying race, and they're just trying to basically save their asses, from what we're understanding. But that's my experience. So from that ship to from when I was a little boy, there's my two experiences. They're the only two I've seen. My father had one time. It was above our house. I never saw it because I was a little boy. Maybe it was that time when they first took me, I don't know. But he says when I was a little boy, there was a ship above our house and it did exactly the same. It raised up slowly, couldn't hear nothing, and it tilted perpendicular and just shot off in a second. So I don't know if that's the same guys. It could be. Because the ship, obviously, the way he described it was the same as the one that I saw in the van with my buddy coming back from a disco one night.
Yeah, I do know that for a fact that England has a lot of supernatural stuff going on there. It really does. People don't realize that.
Oh, yeah,
but
England
I mean,
has a lot of supernatural stuff.
A lot of crazy stuff.
Too.
Yeah. Just like my wife, when she came over.
Including fairies and gnomes that are...
You were saying that. She told you about the Raven Fairy when she came over to see her friends, and that's how we met. She came over, she met me, but beforehand she was with one of her friends, which is another good friend of mine, and they went out in the car one night, and on the way back they saw a Raven Fairy in the middle of the road, and it's like a ball of light that shot across the road and then hid in the bushes, and it looked like a little girl that had one of those like little raver glow sticks
next to
her face. But it wasn't that. It was her face glowing. She was
freaked
glowing.
The fuck out.
Freaked her out and a friend out. And my wife says, "Pull over, I want to look." And her friend says, "Fuck that, we're out of here."
And
she just kept going. Because it scared her as well. It was only the two of them in the car at the time, so that was...
Oh, my God.
There's another experience, which is reality. This is true. These are true stories, people, if you're listening in. So,
yep,
if anybody
sure
out
are.
There that's listening has any other stories, then call in. Please share. If not tonight, then any other night that we do this on Wednesdays and Sundays here at Freedom Eyes the Radio with Moving Beyond the Matrix.
Yeah.
So... We love to hear those kinds of stories because this show is all about the paranormal. Anything that's not the norm, so to speak, you know, because this is what we stand for, solutions and understanding what is out there. What have we not been told?
Mm-hmm.
What have we not been taught? Why? And all this kind of stuff. So from werewolves to vampires to aliens and all this kind of shit.
Yeah, and we're
going to
wrap the show up
yeah.
as well.
But, I'm going to hand this back over to the wife, and great chatting with you, William, as usual. Thank you very much for sharing.
Good, yep.
So we're going to wrap it up here. It's getting close to the hour. So definitely, I mean, that was very, very exciting stories as always, William. That was freaky about the werewolf mama. Holy shit. I can't get over that they were going to kill you. I had a feeling, I mean, from what you were telling me, I mean, that was just so obvious. But yeah, we all have paranormal experiences, you know, especially us being psychic and intuitive and all of that stuff we've had, especially my experience in England was even more frightening because I've never seen a ghost. Like, I've never seen anything physical, like a ghost physically. I would see him in my eyes, my third eye, that would pop up, you know, to communicate with me, but never physically. And that's what they talk about in England, that you'll see physical things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I've seen a ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to the ghost real quick.
Yeah, I've seen a ghost. This was kind of cool. It was at like a junior school. I was around about, I mean, how old was I? Probably about 9 years old, maybe. 9, 10 years old. I think about 9. The old school, I mean, it was like an old-fashioned school where you had the girls on one side, the boys on the other in the playground. And next to it, there was like an old house, which was part of the school. But it was cordoned off. Nobody ever went into it because it was old. It was abandoned. So after school, during the night time, me and a couple of other friends decided to, you know, go explore this house. And then we went in. We thought, yeah, just as young kids do, you know, we're all like exploring and thinking it's cool. And all of a sudden we're hearing some weird noises. And we're probably thinking, it's just shit falling from the rafters or something, you know. Bang, bang, bang. We got stones falling from the rafters or something because of, I don't know, if it's the wind or whatever. But then we're looking across this room. It was quite a big room after we'd been through several. These were like big houses, like Victorian big houses in that kind, because it was like an old building. And then we looked across. There was only the three of us. And we looked across and we saw in this corner like a big, big shadow. And we thought, yeah, it's just... And we looked around the room. What could make that shadow? Where's the light coming from? What could make that shape? And then it started moving. And then we thought, we froze for a second. We thought, ooh, what's that? That's kind of something new. And then it went from being a dark shadow, it turned like a white, grey, misty kind of thing, and then it just, as if it got sucked in through the floorboards, the cracks of the floorboards, it just disappeared into a white, grey kind of dust mist into the floor. Boosh, gone. And we got, wow, we freaked out and fucking bolted out of there. We were off. We ran. We saw that. And it was just weird as hell. And that obviously sticks with me for the rest of my life, just like the other UFO stories. I mean, they do stick with you. And then every time you tell a story, it's weird because you always seem to forget like little details from the last time you told it, and then you remember the details of the next time you told it, and you think, oh yeah, that happened, oh shit. And it's like it just sounds better when you're telling more of it because it's more in detail. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was another quick happening that happened to me. Have you seen any ghosts?
Have I seen any ghosts? Yeah, I have in the past. There's been quite a few times that I've had ghost encounters. I don't really get too excited with ghosts anymore. I know when I was a little kid, I had quite a few experiences with that. But they really don't seem to bother me too much unless it's like a poltergeist activity or something.
You had experiences with that?
Yeah, I've had a few. People call me and want me to come over and get rid of it, which I used to do ghost hunting, and I would go over and I would try to find out where the ghost was, and then I would usually use magic to get rid of it rather than like regular ghost hunters would do. I would use magic to get rid of it, and it always worked. It always worked, and I was able to block the harmful spirit out. I was always able to block the harmful spirit out, or at least tell the people what object that spirit was living in, and tell the people get rid of that object and get it off your property, get it out of your house. If you can't take it out of your property right away, put it in the shed outside or the garage. Do not put it in your house. Cover it with a black piece of cloth, especially if a mirror or something like that, and get rid of the daggone thing as soon as you can, and your problems will be gone, you know, once it's gone. And sure enough, that tended to work every time. I should have been charging a fee for that. I could have made a lot of money. But at the time, I was just doing it out of the goodness of my heart, trying to help people, you know. And
doing exorcisms. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy stuff. And then also when you're dealing with the black arts, especially, we've had some experiences too, like around the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing a lot of blood magic, it's like we tend to bring the manifestations into this realm, and the spirits tend to come close to us. You know, I was hearing from another black magician that was saying the same thing, and that is perfectly normal. And one time we were in the kitchen, and my daughter's like, "Oh my God, Mom, did you just see that?" And I go, "What?" She said, "The spoon flew off the not the microwave, but we had a little oven on top of the counter. It just flew it onto the floor." And I said, "What?" And then she put it back again, and it did it again. She said she never saw that happen. It was the house that we just moved from, and that house felt really haunted. There was something about that energy that I didn't like. And I guess my son, with this new house, my son ended up encountering something in the kitchen as well, where something just flew off, and then it flew off a couple times. He's like, "What the hell?" And
something following us?
I don't know, but I think like I was following another black magician, and he was saying the same thing. He says, when you do a lot of blood magic, you kind of make them manifest into your realm. You know, they because it's very powerful, we tend to use that energy, and then we start to see these beings start to come around or something. But yeah, it's getting pretty wicked. So what about you with the poltergeist?
Oh, just a variety of different people, friends and different people that have asked me to. Like the last time was somebody asking me to come and remove poltergeist from their house because it was terrorizing their daughter, and they happened to have been in my classes, the adult that the two parents were in my classes learning magic from me, and so naturally I was willing to go over and check the place out, and they kept complaining about the energies being in the bedroom of the little girls and also in the basement. And here it turned out that it was in an old mirror that was left in the house when they bought it, and that's where it was hiding.
Mm-hmm.
It was hiding in the mirror that whole time, and I told him, I said, you've got to get this mirror out of here. This is the cause of your problems. It lives in this mirror, and it's also using this mirror as a portal to go from whatever realm it's coming from to here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you need to cover it with a black material. I did some magic on it first, and then I got them to cover it with a big piece of black material. I said, take that thing out to the garage, and I said, as soon as you could possibly get rid of it, get rid of it, even if you have take it to the scrapyard, anywhere you can. Give it away, whatever you do to get rid of it, just get rid of it, because it's going to cause you a great deal more misery. The girl was so terrified that, because she used to be in the magic, she got so terrified over what was coming out of that mirror that she turned into an atheist because of it.
Wow.
She totally,
totally
rejected her own magical abilities. She totally rejected everything that was supernatural. She totally rejected that there was life after death, everything. She just totally lost. Yeah, and that poor girl still to that way to this day. It was a tragedy for her. This thing really fucked with her beyond all description.
Wow, that is some scary stuff, especially coming out of a mirror. Ooh.
Yeah, I got rid of it. It took me 3 days to get rid of the damn thing and to find where it was living at when that witch was in there. But you know, I'll tell you people who are listening, I want to give you guys a little tip here. Anytime you buy a used house, always make sure that you get some tobacco. It can be any kind of tobacco you want, or it can even be something as cheap as a Black and Mild cigar, something like that, and get a little metal ball and burn. When you go into the house, when you're first moving in, after you get your stuff in, you want to take that tobacco and you want to light it up and you want to offer it to the spirits of the house. If you do that, you want to make a peace offering with the spirits of the house. You tell them that as you're lighting the tobacco or the cigar, and let that burn to the spirits of the house inside of the house. And you won't have any problems with the spirits in the house living there then. Because old houses happen usually. Usually there are things that happened in those houses a lot of times you don't even know that happened. But, you know, you're just excited because you bought a new house and you're excited to get moved in, you know. And people just don't think about that. But if you get moved into a house that's really got some bad stuff going on in there and you don't burn some tobacco to the spirits to make peace with them, they could cause you all kinds of problems, some terrible problems. But if you make peace with them in the beginning, you know, within the first few days, you're usually good to go.
Nice. That's nice to hear. Yeah. Or burn some sage also, right?
Yeah, sage will cleanse your house for a few days, maybe a week, but the sage wears off. What you want to do, actually, instead of trying to drive them out with the sage, you want to just make friends with them by offering them tobacco as a piece of way you don't have the problem.
I see.
Of course, you can sage if you have a particular area that you feel is still not right. You can go in and sage that area, that room, that whatever, if you want to. But I don't know how the spirits are going to react to that. See, especially after making peace with them, then they might think you're trying to chase them out. So you got to be careful.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So, as to what effect everything you do has before you do it.
When you say use tobacco, can that be any kind of tobacco? Like, say, for example, if I've got like a pack of smokes in my pocket, can I break one open?
Yep. You can use any kind of tobacco. I prefer to use the good smelling tobaccos that are flavored. You know, that maybe are, you know, whatever scent, cherry, blueberry, whatever.
Smelling.
Yeah, it makes a nicer offering to them. So usually I'll use a cigar. I've even used Black and Mild that were, and those worked out fine. Those are the cheap cigars, you know, the poor man's cigars, but they work just fine.
Yeah.
And they get the job done. So even a stranger.
Yeah, we got Cuban cigars here.
Yeah, there you go. You can burn one of those bad boys, right? Yeah, all the spirits are going to love us after that.
Yeah. Here's a treat, guys. There's a Cuban.
Yeah, there's some Cuban and some brandy or some rum. Yeah, big time here down here in the Yucatan.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the Caribbean, near the Caribbean side, so there's a lot of, like, Santeria and all that stuff going on here, too.
Yeah.
So,
We even put offerings on our little altar as well, as she puts on, depending on what entity we're working with, it's either whiskey or brandy or rum or whatever, depending on the entity. And we always do the offerings. Sometimes we've got like little bits of food, fruit or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to go along with these liquors and stuff. But yeah, offerings are good because it does make you friends with these guys and they realize that obviously you're not out there to destroy them. You just want to be friends and just
live in harmony.
Live in harmony.
Coexist with
Coexist,
each other.
Yeah.
Definitely. But anyway, we have to get going here. But William, I was going to say if you can talk a little more about your background as a magician and then plug in your website or your email and phone number, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Where can people find you for your services?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My email address right now you can reach me at, it's ravensthrone@protonmail.com. That's RavensThrown at protonmail.com. And I do offer psychic readings. I offer spell casting service. And I'm also getting ready to teach some more classes for those that want to learn magic. I'm going to be starting up a basic class on basic magic. Nothing too hard or too complicated in the beginning. Because you have to start, just like learning anything else, you got to start with the basics first, you know. But once you get through the basics, man, you get going. You are hauling butt then, and you'll be surprised what you can do. We all have the ability. We just have to take the time to practice and study. That's what makes that's what made us where we are right now. Is we had the desire and the and the commitment to practice and to study and to learn, you know. And along with that will come strange experiences, that some of which will be amazing and they'll be very positive, and those will be memories you'll remember for the rest of your life, maybe into the next lifetime, who knows. But
yeah.
I'm going to be teaching just basic magic in the beginning. It's going to be a basic class. So you can reach out to me if you're interested in the class, and I'm going to give you the price and everything like that, and what you'll need to get for your class, for your basic classes. There'll be a few things you'll need to buy and everything. But as far as experience goes, I have 40 years of experience in the craft. I started in white magic, Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and then I went from that to witchcraft. I get a high priesthood in witchcraft, so... I'm very well versed in that. I'm also did some gray magic for a while, and eventually I ended up in the left-hand path through my main teacher that introduced me to the left-hand path. His name was Charles Casimano, with Radionics and Psionics, a wonderful man, wonderful teacher, just amazing. But I've done a lot of stuff. I've studied under E.A. Kowetting. I've studied under S. Ben Kahan. I've studied under three or four other magicians, including ones that were Luciferian. Learned a lot about that. Just a bunch of stuff. Boy, I went through the mill, really, on magic. Not that there's not more to learn. There's always something new to learn. You never run out of things to learn.
Yeah.
And your abilities just keep climbing. So.
Yeah.
I could talk more about it on our next radio show and go into more detail about it, about my experiences with magic and so on.
Just quickly, when you say you do spell casting for people, right? Can you explain, like, give people our listeners like an example of what it is of spell casting you can offer? Just in case nobody knows about this, you know. So how does that help people? What kind of situations they need if they come to you with a problem?
Let's say, for instance, you're having a court case come up and you're being taken to court for something either civil or criminal and you really need to win. I can cast a spell for you to win that court case by influencing the judge.
Uh-huh.
I can influence the jurors. I can cause the court a lot of times to drop the case. You know, because courts get loaded with so many cases, a lot of times they have to throw a bunch of them out. I could potentially get the court case dropped, and once they drop it, they can't pick it up again, so it's just done and dead in the water.
I love that.
Dead in the water, and then you're jumping for joy because you don't have to worry anymore. I do things like that. I can do any kind of, I can do love spells. I can get rid of that unwanted lover, that ex that won't go away. There are, if you need a promotion at work or you need a better job, I can cast spells for that. I can do spells of protection, including making amulets or talismans of protection for people if they need it. Just about anything you can think of that you would need, I can probably do a spell for it for you. Or I can bring you into classes and teach you how to do your own spell work. And then you'll be set for life. So either way, I mean, if you have a problem,
brilliant.
Just email me. It's ravensthrone@protonmail.com. And you can reach me there. And let me know what kind of situation you're having. Any photographs that are going on, let's say, for instance, if you know the judge that you're being, that's seeing your case in court, if you can find that on, find that online, send it to me. Pictures of other people that are involved in the court case.
Or even a name.
Yeah, a name, if not a picture.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go from there, and I'll instruct you more as to what else you might need as we go along. But I can definitely solve 99% of the cases. I've got a 99% rating, so success rating. And that's pretty good. I know Joanna does, too. She's very, very powerful. Very good at it.
Thank you.
Yep, and she
she
can probably solve the problem as well. So either one of us, you know. I don't know if Joanna's doing any spell work right for people.
Oh, yeah. I do spell work for the family and everything. But nothing like I'm not being hired or anything at this time until we get a bigger house.
Yeah.
We moved into a smaller one just for temporary.
But we can do these things.
Yeah, of course. I just, you know, I like to have a lot of space when I do my magic and shit.
Yeah.
We've had some experiences, but we'll talk about more of our magical experiences in the next show.
There's one for you guys to listen to.
Yeah, I think we're a little over the road. I think we're still over here,
Yeah, it's fine, though, because everybody loves listening to what we have to say.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. So if you ever need any help out there, contact William. I mean, he's there. He's in the thing I love about William's work, he's into the dark magic. He's operating on the left-hand path, not the right-hand path. Yeah. Right-hand path maybe for healing, right? Some healing stuff, but he's really...
I have a lot of skills with healing, and I'm also a certified herbalist as well. Sometimes I include herbs to help people get healed. Yep.
Nice.
So,
that's going to be wonderful. That's going to be wonderful. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, just contact William, guys, and get your shit done. And magic does exist. It works, okay? It freaking works. You know, and get with someone who knows their shit and who's been practicing long enough to do it. And or if you have a haunted house, right? Do you help people with haunted houses still?
I used to, not anymore so much, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah.
But I still...
Okay, no problem. Awesome. Okay, William. Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your most amazing stories again. My gosh. And I can't wait to put it out there all over the place for everyone to hear. And definitely we'll have another show. We'll plan another one, and we'll be talking mainly about magic, okay?
All right. Awesome, guys. Everyone, and if you ever want to call in, 319-527-6208 is the number to call in. If you have any questions for William at all, or if you want to call in, you want to be a guest on our show, it's Sundays, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Wednesdays, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. All right, everyone, take care and have a good evening. Happy Sunday. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.